on November the 21st, 1993. Thank you.
Your planet is sending her inhabitants very strong messages in many different languages in order to reach as many as is possible. The planet cannot hold on forever, and interference on our part is all but disallowed. There are many lessons for many to be learned, and that, after all, is what the physical expression is all about. The results of interference are far-reaching and not an act to be taken lightly. Our job is not to keep the changes from taking place, but to hopefully get a remnant through and on to the other side of it all. It is not a matter of if these changes take place. It is a matter of how much longer you have before they begin in earnest. Those things which you have been experiencing are only the beginning, the early warning signals being sent out to you. When the time of change gets into full swing, nothing will resemble anything you are familiar with today. Life will continue upon your world, unless you blow yourself to kingdom come. But overpopulation will not be one of your primary concerns. Physical survival is going to be the only concern of the masses that survive the initial shock waves. Less will survive the aftermath. Why do I sound so gloomy? I am sounding gloomy, Chilis, because you are running out of time. The clock is ticking, ticking, ticking. Do you not see the storm clouds gathering? Do you not see that which is coming upon the horizon? Have you not seen and heard the warnings? Alaska has been experiencing many strong earthquakes of recent, all along the string of islands known to you as the Aleutian Islands, which stretch from the Gulf of Alaska into the Bering Sea. These little islands are all remnants of literally thousands of volcanoes, many of which have experienced eruptions since the turn of your present century. So, no, they are by no means dead. They are all considered to be very much alive, with possibility of future activity. The areas of Kamchatka, Japan, the Philippine Islands, the Kuril Islands, and New Guinea have all been experiencing earthquakes. Circle back around the southern edge of the Pacific Plate, traveling east, and you will find earthquake activity in Chile, Peru, Mexico, Southern California, Central California, Northern California, Oregon, and parts of Canada. Chiles, you have just made a quick trip around the entire circumference of the Pacific Plate. In every place there is land mass, there has been earthquake activity. What would you suggest might be taking place? Let us not leave out that little area which sits upon the border of California and Nevada, known as Mammoth Lakes, the Long Valley Caldera region. Your scientists are still watching this area closely because of a major event which occurred May 25, 1980, just 1 week after the eruption of Mount St. Helens. There was a swarm of earthquake activity at the Mammoth Lake site, and your scientists are still, to this day, concerned that the 1980 seismic episode might have been the forerunner of a future eruption of this sleeping volcano. This area has experienced at least 20 eruptions in the past two millennia, the most recent of which was August 23rd, 1890. At that time, the area was still very remote, and only a very few people were witness to the event. Today, there would be a completely different scenario. Swarms of local earthquakes occurred simultaneously with the eruption. Ground ruptures have been mapped east of Mammoth Lakes along a known fault. There are significant zones of cracking and ground failure that coincide with other faults. There is a very large magma chamber which lies at a depth of 8 to 10 kilometers below the surface, which is quite shallow, geologically speaking. So all the recent shaking of this area is to be taken quite seriously. but the Long Valley volcano is not considered to be a harmless old dead volcano by any stretch of the imagination. And as the plates of your planet continue to move and grind against one another, to pull apart, to slide over one another, there will only continue to be more and more of this type of activity until once again your planet comes into its own proper balances, which is what all these changes are about in the first place. There are many cycles and many cycles within greater cycles. Your world is entering into what would be known as a greater cycle, which means that there are many things at many levels taking place all at one time. And the repositioning of land masses, redistribution of the water, and realignment of the planet's axis is but one level of the cycle of change. California is being sent some very strong warning signals. The planet is giving you ample warning of that which is to come in the near future. The rains, the winds, the fires, and earthquakes are but the early warning alarms for the greater of cataclysmic events which are to follow. These warnings are for your benefit, and though you may think that it is unfair that more is to come in that place, which has certainly suffered greatly already, think more upon the unfairness which is being done to the planet from that one little place. The landmass you know as California is so broken, so fractured, so overpopulated, that the ecosystem can no longer maintain and sustain the masses that have flocked there. It is but a little piece of the planet which is struggling to survive, but those who continue to abuse that little piece of land are causing it to die a slow and painful death. I think perhaps that I have lectured quite enough for this time. Though this message may be hard to swallow, it is the medicine that is needed at the moment. As any good teacher will take his students to task from time to time, I too am but a teacher and have only concern for all you who are my students. The lessons may be growing more difficult, but in that knowledge, understand that the greatest strides of growth are possible as well. Take that which has been given in the spirit in which it is sent forth, in love and in compassion for each and every one of you who are walking upon this pathway. Stay the course, learn from the experiences, and the journey shall not have been in vain. In the love and light of Holy God, I leave you. You honor us in your labors and in your service. Tonios de Clear. Salud.
Thank you, Tally. One reason we don't just let Ed resign is that we would be missing a great deal from this relationship. Tally and Ed are the only ones I know of all of you that stay up all night. And I know that you ones have missed Soltec's input lately. And yet we give Callie great, great honor. She started her receiving while she still bore great responsibility, both at her home and having a job. She feels very badly, you know. Well, Dorma puts out 50 pages in a day, 40 pages, 30, and here's my piddling contribution. No. We're honored and grateful for whatever time she takes so that we might get these lessons. And this input, they're not necessarily lessons. And Corton and Soltec will be making Ed's ears ring all the time anyway. And we have to allow for that. So we all just have to make time for each other's pressures. And I thank you. And I thank Callie and Carrie greatly. He is a support system that keeps that going. I'm going to, I believe, wait on Captain Sananda's message, perhaps to leave, to go with us as we leave. I have some things I want to discuss. I think I can brief them down rather than reading the entire paper. This is for you ones who already feel you're overburdened and you can't even tell when the tea is ready versus whether the membrane is sick or why it's growing green moss or whatever. Don't worry, we'll get it worked out. Meanwhile, just when you thought you might be able to see over this one, I'm going to dump another one on you. But it is much a part of this as anything that you are doing. We have the capability, and now we have the first series of product. And this will come as, unless you're the ones who have read yesterday's writing, it was written basically for one who creates the Deandriana in the mass market, if you will. You'll excuse the looseness of that term. We have the capability, and we are choosing now to bring it into full operation. You can add a couple of drops of this magic potion to a cup of coffee, and it will neutralize the caffeine. Now that sounds really great. Ah, boy, now we know we can just drink 25 cups of coffee a day. There is a big hang-up. It will make it better for you if you put these in under any circumstances, because it changes the energy molecules or the DNA structure of a caffeine molecule. Changes its frequency. The problem comes from the amount of caffeine that comes through the tea. Even the caffeinated tea is not fully void of caffeine. So instead of going into the long lecture, which I basically have covered enough in the writing, if you will please pay attention to it when you do get it, to explain, I'm not interested in decaffeinating coffee, so you can go on with devices. If, however, you are taking Deandriana and you even take the tea, well, we've got that balanced out with the stuff we have in it. But we will add 15 drops of this solution to each gallon of even the basic Cardassian tea. That will bring the caffeine molecules into the same frequency as is the Deandriana. That means that when you take your Deandriana, you will not have diminished capability of the Dreanas to function. There are toxins, there are outside pollutants, and they are different. You will find that caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, these also may be pollutants, but they have toxic effects. They also can all move easily within your cellular structure. So what happens then when you take the Deandriana? The first thing that it attacks, once it begins to merge and pick up the same frequency as the cells, and the osmosis takes place, and you have a merging of the cells, and now it's time to begin to clean out viruses, bacterial toxins, whatever is not supposed to be in that perfect cell, it will first attack these toxins. So if you have had 15 cups or even 5 cups of caffeinated drink. And don't think, I'll give up coffee, I'll drink tea, I will go have a Coke, I will go have a cup of cocoa or chocolate. These all have caffeine. You're going to have to understand something. You who would follow even the Mormon Book of Wisdom, there's a lot of wisdom there. But they kind of dribble off on the wisdom when they say, you won't be aware of this because the blast is against coffee and mostly Coca-Cola. Well, there's as much caffeine in untreated cocoa as there is in that coffee. Well, they tried to cover that in the ignorance of the age. I am not being insulting. I'm talking about the ignorance of the age. The ones who wrote that didn't realize that. So you will notice in the early versions of the Book of Wisdom, it was suggested that you not drink hot beverages, or it would go on with these beverages, very carefully referring to temperature and content, etc. Well, in some of the herbal substance they would use for their teas, there was a lot more caffeine than there was in anything you could call coffee at the time. So let's always use our reason and our wisdom when we deal with these things. Now, will it help you if you're going to be drinking coffee, period? Yes, it will. And especially if you drop a couple of drops of what we can provide for you into each 8-ounce cup. It will handle the caffeine as far as Giandriana. It's going to be also much better for you. You will have far less indigestion from it, far less nervousness from it. Will it negate the action of the coffee itself on you? No. It won't. And you can still overdo it. What it does is allow the synapses to complete their circuits. In diseases such as Alzheimer's, Lou Gehrig's, these kinds of diseases where you have eventual total loss of muscle tone, total loss of the ability to think and remember, for whatever reason you have damaged those synapses, a circuit cannot be adequately completed. In the event of caffeine and this nervousness is because you have a triggering of the nervous system and it is responding. And it's trying its best to match the frequency. So when you get this quivering, you know that something is happening in your central nervous system causing that. So for goodness sakes, if you get that, cut down anyway. But if you want the ability of your Giandriana to act properly, for goodness sakes, go ahead and drink your coffee. I'm not trying to clean up all the vices of the world. But we don't need to negate what we're trying to do. And I believe that we can offer it very, very reasonably. One say, well, that can't be. Yes, it can be. It will be programmed to be. What happens if you put a couple of drops of saccharin in a cup you wish to sweeten? And you stir it. The whole cup is sweetened, isn't it? So let's not be silly. And let's use the gifts as they come. We can do the very same thing for alcohol. But I don't want you to go out there and be a drunkard. We might be able to touch and neutralize and bring into the same frequency as the Gyandriana or the little drills, so that it is not toxic to your body. And this will be especially good for ones with sugar maladjustments, because in that one we will start with a base of mitochondria, which is your converting, your fuel conversion system. And the toxins of alcohol have to be taken care of in the liver, which also is your greatest housing for mitochondria. So without the science lesson, just know that it will not stop you from getting drunk. It will simply neutralize the effect of the toxin and allow the Gyandriana then that you will put in there, or the mitochondria, to do its work without having to attend always, primarily, those toxins. We will not, at this point, I don't believe. Well, we'll just give you two or three at a time. We'll start with the one that negates caffeine, because we also, very, very similar in frequency is nicotine. We cannot wipe out the damage you do from putting those burned tars into your system. We can neutralize the nicotine toxin that causes this break that makes you an addict. Therefore, the next thing in line for you to logically think is then, can we control addiction? And the answer is yes, easily. Will you be allowed to have it? Not if we advertise it that way. The point is to get you addicted. They're not going to let us come along and non-addict you. But once you have a perfect working central nervous system without what they do or what is damaged by these toxins, you will not have the driving need. You will be producing what you need for a balanced expression. That is going to go and hold true for fat. It is going to hold true for milk indigestion. We can balance all that. How badly do we need to balance it? All of you would go out there and become skin and bones, and we'd get you wiped out by pulse beams. So we've got to also, as we produce things for you, bring you in intelligence up to a level where you don't do yourself in on the other side. 15 cups of coffee, 20 cups of coffee a day is not good for you. It has nothing to do with caffeine. But there are a lot of things that you will notice. To some ones, coffee acts as a diuretic already. But what you don't realize is it very frequently acts as a diuretic because of it you have been storing fluid. And when you get that osmosis membrane in the same frequency, you're not going to have these problems, but you will release extra fluid. So you're going to probably, the first thing you will notice when you start adding it to your coffee, and I'm talking decaffeinated coffee as well, because it does something to the other substance of that coffee as to frequency. And you will find it very frequently represents a good balancing, you will think, diuretic. It is not. It is getting rid of excess fluid that has already been pulled out of your cells and into your excretion system. But it's going to need to be bottled, and all of those labels, and Gorma said, don't talk to me. But we want these things, don't we? These are the gifts. Now, what else did I want to talk about? I want to remind you ones of the seriousness of fillings in your teeth. People you know who have severe crippling arthritis? That's the first thing to check for is mercury poisoning. Mercury vapor from tooth fillings. Now, thank goodness, someone has done a study and we can come at you with backup. In the dental profession, you have something called root canals that everybody dreads, everybody moans, everybody groans, and everybody truly suffers. We're not going to go into alternatives for that kind of medical attention that you need when you have a festered, rotting, painful tooth. But what is happening in 9 out of 10 cases, well, it's even higher than that. The percentage is much higher than that. The results of the body may not respond always. It depends on the status of the body as to what happens. But if, in fact, and this is absolute, you cannot, no dentist can totally eradicate bacteria from the canal. It cannot be totally eradicated. But what is happening is a dentist will go in there and treat the root, disinfect it, and sometimes even in 48 hours do a culture to make sure that it shows no ongoing infection. And then will do his thing, plug it up, send you home, you'll feel wonderful. That's fine. But the ongoing action of the recovering bacteria, you have now provided them with a nasty environment to which they have to respond in a nasty way to recover. But you've also plugged them off, given them darkness, given them warmth, given them a perfect environment for recreating themselves. Let's get going, brother bacteria. Come on, we can suck a little, you know, through the porousness of this root here. But the worst thing that happens is in the recreating, the toxins from those bacteria go right through the tooth. And now you've got proof. You had physicians who did the right studies. They said, aha, this woman is in a wheelchair. She got that way after she had her teeth worked on. And let's look at this root canal. It shows some evidence of irritation. Not massive infection, but irritation. That tooth was extracted and slipped under the skin of a rabbit. Within 2 days, the rabbit had also created arthritis and died from over just rampant arthritis. Aha, we better look at this. They found that if the person with the root canal giving off toxins had eye problems, slip that into the rabbit, you see a rabbit has a very poor immune system. They're very prolific, they're just not immune to much. If you had eye trouble, the rabbit had eye trouble. If you had gout, it developed gout. If you had kidney failure, it developed kidney failure. The toxins from the tooth affected exactly the same organ in the rabbit as it did in the body. And invariably, when the tooth was removed, the patient got well, the rabbit, poor thing, died. They found they could grind this so that they could filter with scientific equipment and apparatus, filter out every bacteria so that nothing was left but this solution. It could be injected into the rabbit, another rabbit, and it would develop the very same symptoms and usually end up in death. So I'm not saying that if you have a root canal, they'll get it yanked out of your head. I am telling you to look very, very carefully, very, very carefully. If you have an ongoing anything that you cannot seem to heal, you better look at your teeth. Better to have a rotting tooth wide open than to close that toxin in before it's time. Now, there are ways so that this never becomes a problem. And obviously, if enough antiseptic got to the bacteria, they cannot continue to live. They will continue to die. And it will never become a problem. But with modern dentistry, it is more and more and more and more prevalent. It is not adequate dental care. So look at it. If you know ones who are suffering, look at it very carefully and suggest they have their teeth checked. It can be as simple. Avoiding death and deterioration can be as simple as getting that out. Yes. Please.
This has been a subject that I've looked into for several years now, a number of years in terms of mercury amalgams. And I just to continue with what Commander said, there are some new compounds coming up. Being a materials engineer, I know a fair bit about compounds of created materials and their strengths. And several years ago, some of the first wave of new materials came out that are non-mercury amalgams. They're essentially ground glass in an epoxy, and they are cured in your tooth with ultraviolet light. So there's a lot of good in the whole process, and I have several of them. Whenever I had to have a tooth redone, the filling done, I've changed it with that. And you'll find a number of dentists, and maybe Al can even verify this, number of dentists who have been schooled to tell you that the new stuff is no good. The mercury amalgam is the only thing that can handle the pressure. I've had them now for 7 years in my back molars, and they're doing just fine. And I'll tell you, the relief of getting the mercury amalgam out of the tooth was fantastic. So even if you're not on your deathbed from a root canal that wasn't properly cleaned out, Al described last night at dinner, and he should even mention it to you, the technique he used, which one dentist in a billion would use to clean out a tooth before closing it up after a root canal. Very few dentists are that thorough.
Well, and he used heat.
Yes, and hydrogen peroxide would be a good thing to get in there and nail those bacteria and several other things.
Yes, but listen to what you're saying, too, with the ultraviolet.
Yes.
You are going to knock out
majority
if these root canals were treated not only with the antiseptic that's put in there, but also with an ultraviolet laser.
Yes, that's exactly what's being used, and it's used to cure the epoxy. The epoxy that binds this ground glass together is polymers, which means long-chain molecules, and when you take the ultraviolet light, you cause them to break up and sort of collapse on themselves, sort of like tangled rubber bands, and that's what cures the material. But even if the dentist doesn't clean out your tooth well enough when he pulls the old filling out, if you're going to put layers of this stuff in with ultraviolet light, that light, while it's curing, as Commander says, is going to nail all the bacteria and kill them off so that you have a very clean and sterile environment as you build up this enamel material.
As a matter of fact, you're going to be really ticked off at your dentist. All of you who, like Dorma, will not go to the dentist because of that drill and a few other, you know, torture things. You put enough of ultraviolet laser light in there, you're going to clean that out better than you can do with any drill. And it's totally, totally painless. But you'll get there. You know, you ones will get there. Just, you have to be aware of the things that go awry. Doesn't mean you have a bad dentist. It just means this is the way it is. And you don't go and say, well, I spent $500 for that root canal. I'm not going to part with it. Better to part with that $500 root than your life. or facing crippling disease the rest of your life. When your kidneys are gone, you're on a machine or you are dead. So let's always keep it in mind when these opportunities come to make a difference. Let's try to look at it. I wish we could have a medical column. You see, we talk about the size of the paper. We need one 10 times bigger. And yet, we couldn't reach the people. So we have to just go as we can. Now, to cut down on the length of this meeting, maybe you'll just read what I wrote today. And then we can have some discussion, or we can just move right along and get Rick to share Sananda's, so that we leave a little bit on a spiritual note. You sure can. That's what we're here for.
Know about the fires in Southern California recently?
Yes.
I just read your article on the HTA formulas.
Yes.
And that sort of thing, and I was one of those people that lost their house in Malibu. And it was interesting that my house was the last one to burn, and the neighbors were very curious that all of them said my house shouldn't burn. I was wondering if there was a connection to that HTA formula.
Yes.
Because I had so much research there, I feel very irresponsible that I lost, but they wouldn't let me go to my house at several checkpoints, and wouldn't let me get back there to protect it, and the house wouldn't have burned had I been there. So I was at issue as to whether I was being somewhat irresponsible or whether it was meant to be and something greater is to come from that in terms of what God has in mind, so to speak.
Well, you're here to tell us about it, aren't you? I should tell you something. You have to just take what comes. I understand that. And it's hard. But what went on in these fires is the most atrocious act of man against his brother that I have witnessed since the murders. Quite frankly, forget the Holocaust of the murders of the Christians in Russia. To make their point, to get their power over you, there was not one fire started honorably, like from a bolt of lightning. These bastards went out there, and they would not leave a house standing that had been under surveillance of any kind. If it meant burning the entire mountain and all of the houses on it. These fires were started by these incendiary devices, and they would shoot them out like scatter bomb. And they burned so intensely that no matter where they land, they supply everything that is needed to that spark to require that it burns. This is the first large-scale use of it. Be ready. They're not done. And I thank you for the confirmation. Right, they would not let ones to their dwellings for two reasons. They were planting these suckers as they went along, and they didn't want anyone to see. And yet, in most of those instances, honorable firemen, honorable homeowners just trying to get home, they were truly in danger. And better the house be gone and everything in it than to lose your life. But this was something to behold. And I thank you for sharing, because it is coming down. And it brings to my attention something that was discussed earlier amongst a little handful. Ones from time to time send incredible videotapes to this place. One has recently come, and it was that no one was able to view it. It was a bad tape. Rick has acquired a second copy of that. We need to work out something so that all can be exposed to this. And yet, if we come down like this afternoon and we spend an hour and a half watching a tape, which would be an ideal thing to do if we met more often, or we could get rid of these other subjects or whatever, but they're just as necessary. Sometimes more necessary for what we're doing. But this one deals with the use of gangs like the Bloods and the Crips. It's important that all of you have access to seeing this. And yet, our only people that can make a copy of these tapes, there aren't any fast dubbing equipment. They can make maybe two, and that's Jack. He's overloaded. He'll go home and have to make copies of these tapes, you know.
Let me turn that tape.